You're now listening to the Fantasy Filler Podcast, where we put you in the driver's seat every week, all year long. In the NASCAR racing world, from top news stories, latest results, and best fantasy lineups, we'll have you up to speed and out in front before the drop of the green flag. So let's dive in with our host, Vanilla Wafers.
The stakes have never been higher to make it into the playoffs, as we now just have two races left here in the 2023 season, a road course and a super speedway. Which drivers will be able to lock themselves into the playoffs, and which drivers will come up short, and also which drivers will be the top representatives here at this road course at Watkins Glen International? That and more in today's episode of the Fantasy Filler Podcast. Hopefully you guys are ready for this weekend, as I feel like this race will be a pretty exciting one for the fans, as Watkins Glen International has been probably the most exciting road course for many, many years. I mean, in all honesty, this has been the track why fans really wanted to see more road courses. I do love Sonoma. I really do. But Sonoma Raceway just really doesn't provide that action-packed, exciting racing. However, this racetrack does, due to its massive speed, its intense corners, lots of opportunity for passing. It's just a great racetrack. And now that we only have three playoff positions left here in the regular season championship, all drivers who don't have a victory are on absolute edge. If you guys remember last weekend at the Indianapolis Road Course, Michael McDowell, who was right around the playoff cut line, was able to secure a victory, and because of that, everyone's points got shifted. Instead of people being about, 20 points, maybe 30 points behind, that now went to 40 to 60, because Bubba Wallace had such a gap between the 15th and 16th position. So now, a lot of people are in a must-win situation. And then you got people like Kevin Harvick and Brad Keselowski, who are a crap load of points ahead. I think they're more than three races ahead. That doesn't mean anything if we get two victors besides them. Let's say Chase Elliott wins this weekend, and then we have Bubba Wallace win next weekend. Just throwing two names out there. I'm not saying that those guys are the ones who are going to get the victories. Well, one of those drivers is going to miss it, Brad Keselowski or Kevin Harvick. And right now, they're only a couple points away from each other. So this victory by Michael McDowell last weekend at the Indianapolis Road Course has really, really made things more intense here for the bottom three spots. Right now, the drivers who are in are Kevin Harvick in the number four, the number six of Brad Keselowski, and the number 23 of Bubba Wallace. And the drivers outside are Daniel Suarez in the 99, Ty Gibbs in the 54, Chase Elliott in the 9, the number 48 of Alex Bowman, just to name a few. Anyone who's further back, who has ran all the races, unless they got a waiver, can still qualify for the playoffs. So even though I just mentioned four drivers outside the playoffs, that doesn't mean those are the only drivers who can make their way into the playoffs. So things are getting absolutely crazy down here, and I cannot wait to see what happens here at Watkins Glen International, because a lot of these drivers look to be favorites here for this weekend, more specifically the drivers outside the cutoff line. So that is definitely going to be fun to watch here this weekend. Meanwhile, we've had a lot of racing news pop up here this week in the NASCAR racing world, from down to the Truck Series all the way up to the Cup Series. One of the biggest news stories that I really want to touch on first is a situation regarding a part-time Truck Series driver and a part-time Xfinity Series driver. Just recently, it was announced that these two drivers are suspended indefinitely. It feels like the 2023 season has just been nothing but suspensions left and right. What's that? You're going to park on the start-finish line? Get your ass out of here. What's that? You're going to wreck someone into the wall at over 180 miles per hour? Get your ass out of here. It's been like that all this year. But this one is not nearly as funny as those other ones. In fact, it's something to frown upon, as both Jason White, a driver who is racing a couple races here in the 2023 season down in the Truck Series, and Chris Hacker, a part-time driver in the Xfinity Series, both were arrested in the month of August due to DWI charges. Their mugshots are on display, and both of them look pretty intoxicated now. There is no excuse for driving under the influence, ever. And especially with these drivers who have racing as their professional job, that's even more despicable. And a suspension handed down to these two drivers is an absolute must. I don't see any world where it's just like, oh, you know, we'll allow them to come back and still race, even though their licenses are revoked. I mean, they can still race in NASCAR. No. They're suspended for indefinitely, which means I don't know if we'll ever see these drivers come back. And what a real shame for people like Chris Hacker, who's had opportunities. This is not his first time running into the law on the negative side, because he has also been caught dealing marijuana. This is before 2020. So he had opportunity to redeem himself, and now you have this DWI. Yeah, things are not looking good for that young driver. We shall see. And then there was another suspension indefinitely by a Mr. Joel Courage. Now, this person did not sound familiar at all. He's not a racing driver. He's actually a person within the sport of NASCAR. In fact, he helps out younger drivers make their way up into NASCAR's smaller divisions all the way up to the top series. Well, this one's not funny at all, because he was recently arrested for failing to register as a sex offender. I don't know exactly what he did. It's obviously a sex crime and he had to register for it. But yeah, he is suspended indefinitely, and rightfully so. I mean, Chris Hacker and Jason White, it's already a bad situation. I mean, you can go cruising, hell, you can go boozing, but you can't have those two together. This, whatever Joel did, is 100% unacceptable, no matter what profession you're in, no matter where you are in life. It is unbelievable that he failed to register as a sex offender, because first off, he did a heinous crime, and then he wasn't going to let anyone know about it. So rightfully so with this suspension, and rightfully so with all these three suspensions. So starting off this week with a bit of negative news, but we do have to touch on this stuff. It's not always a positive go-lucky news. There's sometimes where NASCAR has some black eyes here and there, and this is one of those situations. So three big suspensions, two of them part-time series drivers. Down in the truck series, they will not be racing here this weekend, but next weekend they will be racing at the Milwaukee Mile. For the first time in quite a few years, remember, they are in the middle of their playoffs. Only one driver has locked themselves in into the next round, and that is Ty Majeski with his impressive win over at Lucas Oil Indianapolis Raceway Park. It was a very dominant performance, so what he's just trying to do is just keep adding on to his playoff points to be able to advance on. It's still really close there as far as the playoff battle goes. More specifically, the four drivers who are really duking it out is the number 25 of Matt DiBenedetto, the number 88 of Matt Crafton, the number 99 of Ben Rhodes, and the number 2, the highest rated rookie, Nick Sanchez. So that is all to really cover here in the truck series. Nothing really too much popped up there. Down here in the Xfinity series, they will be running here at Watkins Glen, as we have a total of 40 drivers trying to make their way into the 38 car field. Some noticeable names that are on the entry list include the number 17 for Henrik Motorsports with Alex Bowman behind the wheel. The 07, I know they made an announcement that they're changing out the driver, because obviously the driver that was supposed to race in that car was Chris Hacker. That, unfortunately, is not the case. We also have Ty Gibbs, AJ Allmendinger, drivers who run in the Cup Series that are going to be coming down here into the Xfinity Series. Same with Ross Chastain. And then you also have Stanton Barrett, a part-time driver who usually runs at the road course races. He will be running with the number 35 team of Emerlin Gase Motorsports. There is also some announcements of some teams that don't really run the full season that are trying to make it into this race. This includes the number 96 team of FRS Racing, as they have Max McLaughlin trying to make it into the main show. They've been unsuccessful the last couple times. It's been mostly due to weather issues, but they feel confident that they can make it into this race. And lastly, KC Carden will be attempting to qualify into the Watkins Glen Xfinity race for CHK Racing. I do believe this will be his first attempt here in the Xfinity series, so we'll keep an eye. This team needs every bit of good luck on their side, as they have had a really, really hard season trying to make it into races. I think they've only made it into 10% of the races they've entered into. So definitely Casey Carden has a lot on his shoulders here with this number 74 team. Now moving on into the Cup Series. As you guys are well aware, Shane Van Gisbergen keeps making the hints that he wants to move full-time into the NASCAR Cup Series starting in the 2024 season. Well, now it's looking like it's becoming closer and closer because he has been released from his supercars contract as he already has a driver that is set to replace him, and that driver is Will Brown. He will join Red Bull Arm Pole Racing from 2024 for the next 3 years afterwards. So basically, Shane Van Gisbergen is without a ride, and no surprise there. I mean, getting that victory at the Chicago Street Course, everything said, you know what, go into the NASCAR Cup Series. That's where you're supposed to go, and it's one step closer. Whether he's starting in the Cup Series or not, that is left to the decision of Trackhouse Racing or whoever picks him up. But I would be very surprised if he's racing anything lower than the Cup Series, in my honest opinion. But again, another step forward for Shane Van Gisbergen to move on into the NASCAR Series. Another bit of news here. Looks like NASCAR is getting ready to release a new video game. Now, usually I don't talk about the video game scene because video games and NASCAR have not blended well ever since EA Sports has left. And I think we just had one of the worst ever games imaginable for NASCAR just a couple of years back. Well, now they're bringing kind of a different style of game as NASCAR ARCA Rush brings classic arcade racing fun to consoles and PC starting September 15th. It's been a very, very long time since we've seen a game like this. I think the last one that they did was this NASCAR racing game. I can't really think about it right now, but the title of it. But it was on the Wii, and it showed drivers basically racing convertibles. They looked like the stock cars, but they were convertibles because their heads would pop up. It was kind of cartoony. It was a lot of fun, but really not much came out of it because it was a very minimum-made game. This one looks to be a little bit similar, except they are going to have many, many different options as far as stickers to put on the car, paint schemes, different types of years, because it's showing that it's going to have some of NASCAR's iconic cars from the last 75 years. It's going to be having quite a few racetracks like Talladega Super Speedway, Daytona, Darlington, Martinsville, and I'm hoping that this race is pretty fun. I mean, race game is a lot of fun for the fans because NASCAR just needs an exciting game. They need a good game because I feel like the last few years has just been atrocious. So hopefully this game, although I'm not thinking it's going to be at the same level as EA Sports games, obviously, I just hope it's a step in the right direction. It will be coming out September 15th, and it will be available for pre-order now at $49.99 at major retailers. I don't know about you guys, but maybe you should rate before the game comes out just for the simple fact that we don't know how good this game is actually going to be. So don't waste $50 on a piece of crap game. Otherwise, you'll be those poor bastards who bought into NASCAR 2021 Ignition. Don't be one of those people. We talked about video games. Now let's move on to videos, as I think this is the smartest thing that NASCAR has done in a very, very long time. And I've seen a lot of people super excited about this. And this is regarding their digital experience because NASCAR has now released NASCAR Classics on their website for people to watch ad-free viewing, more than 1,000 full race replays, condensed broadcasts and recap packages spanning 8 decades of speed in the NASCAR Cup Series. This is great. I was so excited to hear about this because a lot of fans, let's be honest, NASCAR's a little different from other sports. Like, a lot of people like to look back at older races. I don't know why it's so different like that, but it's just the way racing is sometimes. We look back at older races, and sometimes they provide exciting finishes, exciting races in different ways than what we see today. It's just the way it is. And there really wasn't that many ways to find these old racing recaps. I mean, NASCAR would show a few races from time to time, but it was mostly YouTubers who would just have this recording and they just throw it up on YouTube. Now for NASCAR to have almost 1,000 races on replay for fans to watch, just a great idea. Just a great idea. If you want to watch some of the most iconic moments that they have been talking about for so many years, now you get the opportunity to. I hear a lot of people, their first one to watch, which is a pretty understandable race to watch, was the 1998 Daytona 500, where Dale Earnhardt was finally able to get the Daytona 500 victory. You can also watch one of the closest finishes in NASCAR history with the 2003 Darlington race that happened when Ricky Craven and Kurt Busch were duking it out in the final few laps, and they ended up slamming into each other towards the start-finish line. You can also watch the 2001 Pepsi 400, where we got to see Dale Earnhardt Jr. win at the very racetrack that took his father's life just a few months before. The 1979 Daytona 500, the race that put NASCAR on the map worldwide. Just so many races to watch. It's now at your fingertips, and bravo to NASCAR for seeing this potential market here, and I think fans are just going to be very appreciative and just going to enjoy every minute of it. So we already know who's driving the number 42 car for Legacy Motor Club. As you guys are well aware, Noah Gregson asked to be released from his contract. Mike Rockenfeller was announced that he was going to be racing for both the road course events. This will be his last race in that 42 car as of right now. The driver who's going to be racing in the car at Daytona in the number 42 machine will be Josh Berry. Josh Berry is moving full-time into the Cup Series after this season, and he will be driving the number 4 machine for Stuart Haas Racing, so why not give him opportunities to run in these cars as a substitute driver? He did it for Chase Elliott. He also did it for... Did he do it for Spire Motorsports? No. He didn't do it for Spire Motorsports. He did it with the 42 team as well. I remember Noah Gregson also had to leave due to a concussion, so he's basically coming back to a team that he raced with before. I have nothing against this in any shape or form. I think it's a great idea for Legacy Motor Club to have Josh Berry, because he's already proven that he should be a Cup Series contender. So why not have a talented driver who's racing well in the Xfinity Series be in your equipment at Daytona? And Josh Berry getting any more experience with the next-gen car is just two thumbs up and something that's going to be beneficial for both him and Stuart Haas Racing. So if you're wondering who's running in that car next week, it will be Josh Berry, the driver of the number 8 machine for Junior Motorsports down in the Xfinity Series. And last bit of news here, this one was pretty interesting as well, as NASCAR is not just done with the NASCAR Classic races for video archives. They are also in discussion with Netflix on a playoff docuseries. There was a lot of rumors in the last few years about NASCAR going to streaming services. It was mostly with Amazon Prime, but as we can see with some of the contract announcements, that's no longer the case. However, racing has gotten really popular on streaming services like Netflix. I mean, Formula One was one of those series that really benefited from having their own series on there. NASCAR is looking to do the same thing. They only really want to focus on the playoffs, it sounds like. We'll see what happens, or maybe they'll film a whole full season. We don't know what exactly is going to be going on here. They kind of did a little bit of an experiment on this on the USA Network, and they also did it on Peacock. So who knows? This might actually benefit really well. I'm just trying to figure out a name that they could have here for this NASCAR playoff docuseries. I know a great name. Drive to Survive. Think about it. You're going to be in the playoffs. You're doing everything you can to survive into the next round. It's a perfect name. I don't think anyone has used that name. Formula One has used it. Well, at least do something a little closer to that. But Formula One has proven that this can be successful, and it really attracts a lot of fans. Who knows? Maybe the same could be for NASCAR. Nothing is confirmed at this moment, but they are in serious discussions to get something like that going. And those were the biggest bit of news to come out of the racing world here this week. I'm pretty sure the news is just going to get more and more exciting as the weeks go by, just for the simple fact that the 2024 silly season is really going to start to pick up. Playoffs are going to be big indication on which way drivers want to go. But now let's move on to the most important segment of these episodes, and that is our fantasy picks. Which drivers do we want to go with? We're running out of picks, and it is more important than ever to get the right drivers on our fantasy lineup. Just two more races left here in the regular season. Which drivers will do good here at the road course, and which drivers do we want to save at the super speedway? A lot of questions are up in the air, but we're going to do our best to try to figure out who will be the best option. So without further ado, here are our top picks for the gold bowling at the Glen at Watkins Glen International. All right, similar to last week, we're going to be looking at past road course races to kind of determine which will be the best options, as well as most importantly focusing on past finishes here at Watkins Glen. Now, we've learned quite a bit from last week. I think one of the biggest takeaways we could get from last week is that the drivers around the cutoff line are probably going to be some of the best options to go with. And the people who are going to be second to that are the people who are mostly road course masters. And maybe they're both of them. That is something we really got to figure out. I thought someone like Joey Logano would be a great option to go with just because he's been pretty consistent at getting stage points. That obviously was not the case. I don't think it's going to be a driver that we've been used to seeing here as a top pick for the Ford camp, maybe not even the Toyota camp. Who knows? We will look more into that as we go through some of these top drivers. Here in the Chevrolet camp, these drivers look pretty obvious and consistent with what we were thinking. And here in this race, I think the Chevrolets will be the representatives. I think they're going to be the ones putting up the best showing. Now that I said that, it could more than likely be another situation where Michael McDowell winds up in victory lane. I don't know. But either way, these drivers here will be top picks. They're going to be going for the victory. And more than likely, they're going to have their strongest showing here at Watkins Glen way more than they would at Daytona. The first option I have here is a pretty obvious one. And a lot of people have him as the winner of this race. And that's the number 9, Chase Elliott. You know, Chase Elliott, whether or not he's having a good or bad year, he's always been very consistent when it comes to Watkins Glen. The road courses, he's been doing really well. The only one he really struggles at has been the Charlotte Roval as far as finishes go. And even then, those are sometimes not his fault. Technically, they're his fault. But he wasn't the one who initially caused the incident. Anyways, here at Watkins Glen, his worst finish in the last 4 years has been a fourth place finish. And we saw at the Indianapolis Road Course, he was so close to getting that victory. And you know, he's even more hungry this weekend to get that victory. He's in a must-win situation. There's no doubt in my mind that he's going to be a top racer here in this race. The only thing that would throw him out of contention would be a potential mechanical problem or a strategy that just completely falls apart on him. Both that I find highly unlikely to happen thanks to Alan Gustafson up there on the pit box. So I think it's safe to say that Chase Elliott is a good, solid number one pick. If you only got one pick left, this is where you're going to use him. You're not going to save him for Daytona. It's too much of a crapshoot. And here in this race, he's going to be at the very least running around the top five the entire event. Now let's move on to the other manufacturer. Let's have Toyota here. So I like how I said that it could mix up a little bit. But I think here with the Toyota camp, there's really only one option to go with. And well, maybe there could be two. I can see some people argue for another driver. But I like Tyler Reddick as a better fantasy option. Tyler Reddick just proves time and time again that he is one of the top road course racers. And he's had some rough finishes here and there. Make no mistake of that. But even in those races where he had rough finishes, he was still a dominant car. Sometimes that just happens. Like Sonoma, he got bumped into from behind and got taken out, and then he decided to go down pit road, which was a smart move, but NASCAR decided to punish him for being smart. I don't know what you can say there. Chicago Street Course, I mean, that was going to be a wild card race regardless, and even then he ran really well in that event. I think here at Watkins Glen, a racetrack where maybe he hasn't led that many laps in the past, I still think it's going to be a really good performance for that number 45 machine. He showed that he was a consistent driver in the Indy road course race. He's been a consistent driver at most of the road courses thus far. I still think he's the top representative here for the Toyota camp. If you don't think he's the top representative, then maybe lean towards more Martin Truex Jr., a driver who's had a lot of success here in the past at Watkins Glen. However, it's a little mixed with which track Martin Truex Jr. is going to be doing better at, because here at road course, he's either been doing really good or he's just been mediocre. I don't know how many picks you have left, but if you only had one pick left and you only wanted to pick one Toyota, I'm leaning towards more Tyler Reddick. But Martin Truex Jr. is still a pretty good pick. Now let's move on over into the Ford camp, who will be the top representative here. I think you just have to throw Michael McDowell as the top pick here for the Ford camp. He definitely proved me wrong in the Indy road course race. I thought, man, he could probably be a top 10 driver, maybe even a top 5 driver. I did not think he was going to be so dominant in that race. But by God, did he do it. And another racetrack that he's done really good at in the past has been here at Watkins Glen. Last year, he led 14 laps and he was able to finish 6th, qualify 3rd. There's no signs of him slowing down. There could be even a chance he can get back-to-back victories. The chances are highly unlikely because there's so many hungry drivers here in this race. But Michael McDowell should be the top representative for the Ford camp. And I really don't think there's anyone close to him. And the only way that someone would get close to him is if a strategy does not play well into the 34's hand and a strategy plays well for somebody else. So I think Michael McDowell, I know you have plenty of picks left for him. I think throw him on there. At the very least, he's a number two pick here for fantasy rosters. Two more spots here for our top picks here this weekend. Which drivers do we want to go with? I think it's best to stay with Chevrolet, and let's look at a driver who's won the last two races here at Watkins Glen. You already know who I'm talking about. It's Kyle Larson. If you have one pick left, for God's sakes, throw him here and not at Daytona. Don't trust Kyle Larson at Daytona. He does good here at Watkins Glen. He does not do good at Super Speedways. I don't think I have to go any further with him. Two wins in the last two races here at Watkins Glen. He's batting 1,000 in the last two races. Stay with Kyle Larson as a top pick. And then the final driver to go with here this weekend, I'm moving him up as a top pick, and that's the number 99 of Daniel Suarez. Daniel Suarez was really impressive at the Indy Road course. Unfortunately, his team let him down. Now, even before this dominant performance at the Indy Road course, one road course he tends to do really good at, I mean, he got a victory at Sonoma last year, but he's always been really good at Watkins Glen. Doesn't matter what car he's in. He's always ran really well here. I remember in the number 19 is when he got his first stage wins. In the number 41 machine, he had some pretty solid finishes. He was able to finish fourth about four or five years ago. It was right around there. Either way, I think he was with the number 41 car. It was a very good performance there. And last year here in this number 99 machine, he was able to finish fifth. I don't see Daniel Suarez slowing down on the momentum he had last week. He now has some confidence behind him. I think at first maybe he was struggling with that confidence, and he is a driver that really, really relies on momentum. We have seen it throughout this entire season, and right now he has the momentum on his side. If he qualifies anywhere in the top seven, he will be a contender here in this race. So I think it is a-okay to trust that number 99. It's a-okay to trust Trackhouse Racing here at Watkins Glen. So those are our top picks here this weekend. We have the number 9 of Chase Elliott, the number 45 of Tyler Reddick, or the number 19 of Martin Truex Jr., whichever Toyota you think is stronger. I'm leaning towards Tyler Reddick. Then we got the number 34 of Michael McDowell, the number 5 of Kyle Larson, and the number 99 of Daniel Suarez. All right, so we have a few drivers set up on our fantasy lineup now. It is time to complete most of our roster now with some drivers that we feel like will be running around inside the top 10. These will be drivers who should be able to get stage points. Maybe they won't be running for the victory, but they'll still be great showings as your number 3, number 4, or even number 5 driver. Let's include the first one being Martin Truex Jr. Now, I know what people are saying. You can't do that. You set him in the top picks. Well, yes, I can. It's my podcast, and I'm going with Tyler Reddick. Really? Yes, really. This is one of those times where I wish I had a camera on. I think one day this podcast will change, and we'll have more video set up, and maybe I'll set it more on like YouTube and stuff. Because whenever I have arguments with myself, whenever I was using characters like 3 years ago, I would seriously be looking at one side of the room and looking at another side of the room, feel like I was having an argument and I saw the person right there. It's just something that I hope you guys get to see at one point. But basically, I was doing that there. But anyways, way off topic. Martin Truex Jr., solid pick. I just don't see him really struggling here in this race. If he has himself a good finish here, he guarantees that he's going to win the regular season championship. I know how important that is to him. Denny Hamlin is still a lot of points behind. Let me see exactly how many points he is back. Martin Truex Jr. sits at 830, and Denny Hamlin sits at 770. So basically, if he finishes in front of Denny Hamlin, He secures it. So he's going to have himself a pretty good day. And if you think Denny Hamlin will have a good result here, I don't want to put him as another driver as pretty good. There's a chance that he could finish inside the top five. But in all honesty, I like Martin Truex Jr. way more than I like Denny Hamlin. So Martin Truex Jr., he's the first driver to represent the pretty good category. Another driver to really consider will definitely be the number 16 machine of AJ Allmendinger. This is going to be his last chance to make it in all honesty. I don't see him winning at Daytona. He's made improvements at Super Speedways. It's not his cup of tea. He's made it very clear. So, no, I don't trust him at Daytona, but I do trust him here. His finishes have been phenomenal when it comes to Watkins Glen. This is where he got his first victory as a Cup Series driver, and he's been able to finish 2nd, 15th, 9th, and 4th in the last four races here at Watkins Glen. Last week was a doozy. It really was, but Colic Racing as a whole was off the mark. I think he can really bounce back here in this race. There's been other road courses this year that he has finished really well. Sonoma, he was able to finish 6th. Charlotte Roval, last year, he was able to finish 4th. It's just been unfortunate luck for that number 16 machine, but I think he can turn things around here at Watkins Glen. I don't know if he's going to be able to win the race. There's some other drivers that seem to be a little bit stronger than him. But either way, I still feel like he will be able to finish inside the top 10. So there's no reason not to trust the number 16 of AJ Allmendinger with Colic Racing. There's a couple more spots here. I'm trying to look through my list here and see who else we should go with. I think another driver to go with, and I feel a little bit more confident with him, is the number 54, Ty Gibbs. Ty Gibbs is getting a lot of practice right now in the Xfinity Series. Not at the same level as his performances in the Xfinity Series, but he's still been doing pretty decent. You know, if he's able to run around inside the top 10, I think that's going to be a pretty respectful performance on his part. There's some people who think he can get the victory. There's just too many other drivers that look stronger than him. I prefer AJ Allmendinger getting the victory over Ty Gibbs. I think AJ can have a better performance. But with that being said, I still think Ty Gibbs will be right around that mix, trying to find ways to get some solid runs. Maybe he gets some stage points here and there just to build up that momentum. Who knows? But either way, I still think he's worth a shot on fantasy leagues. Keep an eye on him as a number 4 pick, maybe number 5 pick. Don't expect him to be winning the race, but expect him to have himself a decent performance. Two more drivers left. Who do we want to include here? I think an easy one to go with is Chris Buescher. Chris Buescher still has that great momentum. He's been riding around in the top 12 in the last, 10 road courses. So, yeah, it's pretty safe to rely on Chris Buescher. I don't think he's going to score you the most points in the world, but if you're looking at him as a number 5 pick, you're going to be happy with that decision. So, that one's a pretty easy one to go with. I think Chris Buescher should be one that a lot of people should rely on. And that just leaves us one driver left. Which driver do we want to close out here with a pretty good category? I am looking at my stats here, and there are some drivers who really shine out to me, and there's some drivers that I really don't like at all. You know what? Let's play it safe. Let's throw the number 20 of Christopher Bell in. I think Christopher Bell can get himself a top 10 finish. He's been pretty consistent here at the road courses, making some improvements. But again, I still think he's behind drivers like Martin Truex Jr., Tyler Reddick, and Denny Hamlin. But that doesn't mean that it's going to be a terrible week for him. I still think he can have himself a decent run. He's finished in the top 10, and more specifically, 8th and 7th in the last two Watkins Glen races. So the man can run well at road courses. I mean, look at last race. He was able to lead 11 laps and finish 9th at the Indianapolis road course. 9th place at Sonoma. Hell, he got the victory at the Charlotte Roval. So there is potential there. I would put him slightly ahead of Chris Buescher, but he's not going to be the top representative of Toyota. So if you only have one pick left for Christopher Bell, do keep in mind that it's not going to be running for a victory. It's going to be similar to what we've mentioned with the other few drivers here on this list, and that is top 10 is where to expect him. You're going to have people like Chase Elliott or Tyler Reddick in your fantasy lineup that need to be stronger than someone like Christopher Bell. But Christopher Bell should do really good here in this race. So those are the drivers in the pretty good category. We have the number 19 of Martin Truex Jr. We also have the number 16 of AJ Allmendinger, the number 54 of Ty Gibbs, the number 17 of Chris Buescher, and the number 20 of Christopher Bell. Did I ever tell you that time I called Chris Buescher Christopher Bell by accident because I was trying to call him Christopher Buescher? I have? Well, you know what? Anytime I have those names close to each other, I feel like I got to share that story. But yes, it was Las Vegas Motor Speedway. So excited to see him. And then I said, "How you doing, Christopher Bell? Buescher?" And then I dug my hands into my face. Everyone started booing me, which was pretty funny. The fans were on Chris Buescher's side. And Chris Buescher looked at me and said, "Come on, man." It was pretty cool that Chris Buescher had such humor for it. And I felt so bad. So ever since then, never tried to call him Christopher Buescher again, no matter how bad the NBC broadcast booth wanted to be Christopher Buescher. So we probably have only one or two spots at most left on our fantasy lineup. These are drivers that you might want to take a gamble on here this weekend. Always a fun little segment here. We're going to try to figure out which drivers feel like are going to be good options to rely on here this weekend as that final spot, and could impress a lot of drivers and fans that no one really saw coming. So let's see what we got here. We got a few drivers here that kind of pop up, but at the same time, it's been a little wishy-washy with them. So let's start off with a driver who's been really all over the place this season, and that is the number two of Austin Cindric. Can Austin Cindric finish inside the top 10? I don't know. These last 2 weeks, he could be a good gamble pick to go with. He's been known to be very successful at road courses. We saw it during his time in the X-Mandy series. He's been able to get a victory at Super Speedway events. He was able to do it in the Daytona 500 last year. It's just, what kind of car are we going to get with Austin Cindric? Are we going to get something that we saw at Sonoma? Or are we going to get to see something that we've seen with Austin Cindric in the past? I don't know exactly. And that's what makes him a gamble pick. I wouldn't expect him any more than a garage pick right now. Keep an eye on how he's able to do in practice and qualifying. If he shows any signs that he could be something similar to what we saw at Sonoma, stay the hell away from him. But if he's running around inside the top 15, I don't know. It might be a good idea to gamble on the number two machine this weekend. Another driver to take a gamble on will be the number 48 of Alex Bowman. Yes, we keep talking about Chase Elliott. Yes, we keep talking about Kyle Larson. What about William Byron? No, we ain't talking about William Byron anymore. He's just focused on the playoffs right now. But Alex Bowman, he's another driver in that mix who's trying to do everything he can to make it into the playoffs. And it's been a struggle. It's been a real struggle with that 48 team. But something surprised me last weekend. For him to be able to finish that high up in the race, a racetrack where we did not think he was going to be able to run well at, he was able to finish fifth. And he qualified ninth, had some speed. So maybe it's worth keeping an eye on Alex Bowman. Maybe he's going to be able to pull something off here, and these Hendrick Motorsports cars are going to be able to get at least one of them into the playoffs, or they could even do two. Maybe Chase Elliott has something at Daytona. Who knows? But Alex Bowman should be worth a gamble pick as well. I'm just a little nervous if last week was a fluke or not, but we saw the success earlier this season. We saw the speed out of this 48 team. So they are capable of having fast cars and great performances. It's just, that's a long time ago. And lately, we haven't seen that. So there is a bit of concern right there. With that being said, though, we saw how well he ran in the Indy Road Course race. He is, at the very least, worth consideration as a gamble pick. Another driver to take a gamble on here. Why don't we include Chase Briscoe? I think Chase Briscoe, it's been a rough season for him. It really has been. But at least road courses, he's been finishing more near the front than he has been towards the back. This has been one of his stronger types of racetracks. We knew he was going to be good at road courses. But man, it's been a tough season. It's been a really tough season. But similar to Alex Bowman, he was able to turn things around at the Indy Road Course. Can he keep that consistency going? I don't know. He was able to lead 7 laps last year, and he was able to get a top 10 finish the year before at Watkins Glen. So there might be a good opportunity for him to have a solid run. He's been close to winning races at road courses before. Remember the Circuit of the America race in 2022? He was right there in that mix. Charlotte Roval, he was able to finish 9th last year. Road America, he was able to finish sixth in one of those races. So, yes, the man is capable of getting solid finishes at road courses, but he is kind of similar to Austin Cindric. I don't think he's going to be getting the victory, but there is a chance he could be finishing inside the top 12, maybe even the top 10 even. Of course, you want to find that driver who can finish inside the top 10. If I could pick between Austin Cindric and Chase Briscoe, I think I'll lean a little bit more towards Chase Briscoe. He's worth the gamble, but again, another driver to keep an eye on practice and qualifying. Just two more spots left. Let's throw some wacky names out there. Another driver to consider, just based on his past finishes here at Watkins Glen, is Erik Jones. Erik Jones, surprisingly, has finished in the top 10 in the last 3 out of 4 Watkins Glen events. And they weren't flukes either. He just had himself a really good car. Last year, he was able to finish 10th, and then he was able to finish 4th and 5th, and I do believe that was 2019 and 2018, or 2021 and 2019. There's one race in there where they did, or the 1 year, excuse me, where they did not race there due to COVID. But he's had himself some pretty solid performances at road courses. I mean, the Charlotte Roval, he was able to finish 3rd at one point. Circuit of the Americas, he was able to finish 9th. And then there's one race at the Indianapolis Road Course, the inaugural one, where he was able to finish 7th. There's been some solid finishes here and there for Eric Jones, but he's been in with a team who has struggled as well. So same thing with the other drivers we mentioned here on this list. Keep an eye on practice and qualifying. And the final driver to represent us here in the Take a Gamble category, this might be a little bit of cheating, but it's entirely up to you. That is the number 6 of Brad Keselowski. Now, I bet you a lot of people only have one pick left for Brad Keselowski. And maybe most people want to rely on him at Daytona. So why the hell would we trust him here? Well, he's been finding ways to get some stage points in these road course events because he's taking gambles, trying to get ahead of Kevin Harvick. And we kind of saw that last week. And so with that being said, you're going to have him in the garage area as a driver who's picking up stage points. Now, we used to talk about that a lot in prior years just due to the fact of the stage finishes. It would enter in yellow, so you had to make your gamble on which drivers were going to stay out and get those stage points and which drivers were not. I think Brad Keselowski, regardless of that they have a caution at the end of the stage, is still going to take that gamble because he wants to be ahead of Kevin Harvick. And Kevin Harvick, he's adequate when it comes to road courses. He's not the best when it comes to road courses. Neither is Brad Keselowski, but Brad Keselowski is willing to take these gambles. And there was a time back then when he was racing the number 2 car where he was successful at Watkins Glen. He used to have himself some solid finishes, so he knows how to get around this racetrack. The question is, can he bring that with RFK Racing? Well, Chris Buescher's been doing really good, so why can't Brad Keselowski do the same? You are only going to rely on Brad Keselowski if he is able to get stage points, and also if you have maybe 2 picks. I don't even know if you want to trust him if you have 1 pick left, because maybe Daytona will be a stronger one for him. But just by the way he's racing right now and by the strategies he's been playing, that's why he's considered a gamble. In my eyes, it's going to be totally up to you on whether or not you think he's going to be a good option to go with. If he's anywhere around Chris Buescher, I think he's worth the gamble. I really think so. And the way things are playing out right now, there's more than likely going to be a chance that we get 2 new winners and we only have 1 driver who makes it in by points. Whoever that may be, I don't know. And whoever those winners may be, I'm not sure. I'm leaning towards certain drivers, but you never know what's going to happen here in these races. But Brad Keselowski is willing to take the gambles. He showed it last week. He's probably going to do it this week as well. And that's why he is worth a gamble for a lot here this weekend. So those are the drivers to take a gamble on here this weekend at Watkins Glen International. We have the number 2 of Austin Cindric, the number 48 of Alex Bowman. We also have the number 14 of Chase Briscoe, the number 43 of Eric Jones, and the number 6 of Brad Keselowski. All right, and let's close out our fantasy picks here with our featured matchups for this weekend. Remember, these are super important because we have 4 matchups, and if you get one right, you get an additional 10 points towards your fantasy, and this will be the difference on you finishing first to you finishing in the middle of your league. Trust me, there's been many weeks where I have screwed this up, and I went from having the strongest team to, at best, a top 20 out of our fantasy league. So we got to be smart here, and let me tell you, these matchups, ooh, they are tough. Oh, very tough, because here's our first matchup here. We have the number 34 of Michael McDowell going up against the number 99 of Daniel Suarez. Ooh-wee, that's tough. So let's think about this one. So we know which driver who has more to lose, and that's Daniel Suarez. He's not locked in. Michael McDowell is locked in. So Michael McDowell might be playing this race, obviously, more safer than Daniel Suarez. Daniel Suarez might be super aggressive, pushing everything to the absolute limit. With that also being said, Daniel Suarez could have a higher ceiling than Michael McDowell. If Daniel Suarez's team does not make that mistake, they're right next to each other. I think, I am split between these two. You know what? I'm going to lean towards Daniel Suarez. And the reason why is Daniel Suarez is going to be doing everything he can to get that victory, pushing it to the absolute limit. Michael McDowell does not need to push it to the absolute limit. And obviously, if he's there when it matters most, then bam, he's going to be running for that victory. But Daniel Suarez, this is probably his best road course out of them all. Yes, even more than Sonoma. I really do think that. So I think I'm going to go with Daniel Suarez on this lineup. Still, flip a coin because, man, it is going to be tough between these two. Maybe keep an eye on practice and qualifying. That might be your decision maker. Next up, we have the number 9, Chase Elliott, going up against the number 5 of Kyle Larson. Oh, my God. These lineups, they're tough. Oh, man. I want to go with Chase Elliott on this one. If Rick Henrik and Jeff Gordon are smart about this, they're obviously going to try to give the victory to Chase Elliott. I think last year, these two were duking it out. And obviously, if one person did not get the victory, they weren't going to miss the playoffs. This is a completely different story. And I think Chase Elliott, just based on what we saw last week, he has strong performances. Kyle Larson, you know he's going to do good here at Watkins Glen. But I think they're going to put more of their focus on Chase Elliott. I mean, it makes the most sense. And we've seen Kyle Larson in the past. He is a team player. He really is. Even though there's sometimes maybe he hasn't shown it overall, he is. I've seen his radio communications, and if there's a situation where it's between him and Chase Elliott, I'm pretty sure he's going to race him a lot cleaner than anybody else. So I'm going to go with Chase Elliott on this one. Third matchup, the number 48 of Alex Bowman going up against the number 11 of Denny Hamlin. Denny Hamlin is probably going to have himself an adequate race. And when I mean adequate, I mean he's probably going to be running around between 8th through 15th. That's where I see him. Could he be getting stage points? Maybe. Could he be trying to get a playoff point? I mean, that would be smart. That's going to probably be the route he's going to run. While Alex Bowman is going to be running on the strategy to get him to the finish line, finishing ahead of his teammates and drivers trying to make it into the playoffs. So, again, this is kind of a little bit similar to a Daniel Suarez, Michael McDowell situation. I like Alex Bowman just a little bit more just because he has so much more of the game than Denny Hamlin. Denny Hamlin's just basically hoping that something happens to Martin Truex Jr. for him to win the regular season championship. I don't see really any other way of Denny Hamlin really taking that away from Martin Truex Jr. So I want to give the edge to Alex Bowman. Now, a lot of people might pick Denny Hamlin, but like I said, Alex Bowman, he showed something last weekend, and maybe he can do the same here this weekend. And again, if Henrik Motorsports is going to put all their focus on, it will be this number 9 and this number 48. So I got Alex Bowman over Denny Hamlin. And the last feature matchup here, we have the number 54 of Ty Gibbs going up against the number 23 of Bubba Wallace. I think this one's the easiest one. We're going with Ty Gibbs. Ty Gibbs is good at road courses. Bubba Wallace does not like road courses. Yes, I know Bubba Wallace is trying to get stage points here and there, but this is only focusing on the finish overall. So I'd say it's safe to go with Ty Gibbs on this one. Out of all the featured matchups, this is the one I feel the most comfortable with. Watch this be incorrect because Ty Gibbs does something stupid. But again, that's the only way that I feel like Ty Gibbs loses this is if he makes a mistake or someone takes him out. No other way. I think Ty Gibbs is the safest option to go with here. Bubba Wallace, he has been having himself some good performances. It just hasn't been at the road courses. So those are my picks here for the four feature matchups. I got Daniel Suarez over Michael McDowell. I got Chase Elliott over Kyle Larson. I have Alex Bowman over Denny Hamlin. And lastly, I have Ty Gibbs over the number 23 of Bubba Wallace. And those are our fantasy picks here for this weekend at Watkins Glen International. And that will just about wrap up today's episode, guys. Thank you so much for listening. This will definitely be an exciting race. I think out of all the road courses, this is always the one that really brings the most entertainment. I mean, even last year when road courses kind of felt like duds, at least this one had some excitement. It could have been to the drivers who were racing in the race. But even then, at the end, it was still a lot of fun. So don't forget to tune into this race. It will be on the USA Network, and it will be starting at 12... Oh, wait. That's practice and qualifying. 3 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. If you want to watch practice and qualifying, that will be tomorrow on Saturday from 12:35 p.m. Eastern to 2:30. You don't want to miss those. And there will be also an Xfinity Series race on Saturday, and that one will be starting at 3:30 p.m. Eastern on Saturday, with the practice and qualifying being just right before the practice and qualifying for the Cup Series, and that will also be on the USA Network. If you do want to follow me on social media, you can do so on Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, as well as TikTok. Just look up Vanilla Wafers and I pop up. Just mostly, most of the time on Instagram and TikTok, it's daily NASCAR videos, some of it trivia, some of it kind of humor. It's all NASCAR related. I have a lot of fun with it. Instagram is still growing. I think we just hit 700 followers. Still crazy to me. And TikTok, we're at 10,400 followers. Man, some of you TikTok followers need to go on Instagram. Come on now. Just show me the love on the Instagram, please. But if you do want to follow me on those, look me up at VanillaWafers33 for Instagram and VanillaWafer44 for TikTok. And YouTube, I just released a video, Eric Amarola, the story about a driver who's been able to make the improbable seem possible. That was a fun video to make. It's getting a little bit of traction. I'm really happy about that. People have been really enjoying that. And Black Flag Matters. If you guys don't know who Black Flag Matters is, he's one of the top NASCAR YouTubers. He now subscribed to my channel after seeing that video. So that definitely is a confident booster. So Darian, if you are listening to this, once again, thank you so much. And if you want to check me out on YouTube, it's just at Vanilla Wafers. I pop up real quickly, maybe just below like one or two cookie ad commercials. If you want to talk to me during race day, Twitter's the best way to reach me by, or x.com. Be careful how many X's you put in front. Just put Twitter. It still pops up. And I am at Vanilla Wafers 44 there. You can ask me questions. You can even see some shenanigans I talk about during race day. None of it is intelligent. I just am there to have fun. So again, if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at VanillaWafers44. But we're going to wrap up the episode there, guys. I have been your host, Vanilla Wafers, and I've been able to take you to the front of the field. So why don't we grab that checkered flag, do some burnouts, and head on out. So you all take care. This has been the Fantasy Filler Podcast.